Welcome to the Edu All-Stars Podcast.
Hey guys, and welcome to the 94th episode of Edu All-Stars. My name is Todd Nesloni, and you can find me on Twitter at TechNinjaTodd.
And my name is Chris Kessler. You can find me on Twitter at IamKessler. I just want to welcome everyone back to the podcast this evening.
And as you listen to this week's episode, we encourage you to tweet out using the hashtag EduAllStars. We love seeing the conversation and hearing about different things that stick out to you from our guests. We are really excited about this week's guest. His name is Adam Welcome. He's an elementary principal in California. His school is a Workshop Remind Twitter school, where he was also recently selected as Principal of the Year. So thanks, Adam, for coming on with us today.
Hey, thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Well, Adam, one of the first thing places we always like to start with our guests is just kind of learning a little bit more about you and kind of how did you end up in education?
Sure. You know, my dad actually was a teacher for 38 years, so I grew up in his classroom, first and second grade. I remember on my days off, I would go to school with my dad, and the highlight was we would stop and get a donut, and a chocolate bar was like this big. It was like bigger than my head, you know, so that was like where it all started. And then after college, just kind of had a couple false starts in what I wanted to do and just really just gravitated back towards towards education. And I taught elementary school for a while, and then was a vice principal at a elementary school, and then in my third year as principal. So it's kind of been my path.
Cool. So what when you were in the classroom, did you teach all subjects, or were you kind of departmentalized, or how'd that work?
Sure. So I taught third, fourth, and fifth grade, which was okay. Just everything, basically. You know, I taught some combo classes, which were actually a lot of fun, just because you can have two grade levels together, and you usually get like kind of the cream of the crop kids, and you can just really do a lot and push. I got out of the classroom kind of at the tail end of a lot of like just laptops and classrooms, and I don't even know if iPad had even come out yet, because this is my fifth year in admin, right? So just kind of at the tail end, but just really exciting place to go school-wide with things, so cool. Definitely good stuff.
How did you know that you were kind of ready to step out into that other role and kind of leave the classroom behind and just take a different perspective in the school?
Sure. Yeah, my first principal is not watching now, but kind of from him, you know, he was a great guy, but I'm just, you know, my wife calls me a gunner. And just always like, what's next? Want to be the best. Want the people around me to be the best. I'm actually reading a book right now by the chief people officer from Google, and he basically says, like, only hire people that make you better. And I just wanted that for a whole school and not just my classroom or my grade level. And that's really what pushed me to administration, and just always known all the kids and all the teachers. I was always just kind of around. Just thought I would give it a shot, and it's definitely been a fun journey, and definitely I don't miss teaching per se because I'm still a teacher. Mm-hmm. I definitely do a lot with my students, and I still have I work with three different intervention groups on a weekly basis, and I'm pretty much almost in every classroom every day at my school. So definitely still play the admin teacher role. I've tried to really redefine what principal is. In my time, just because it's changed and it has to change, can't be business as usual. So, kind of the segue off that question, Chris. But that's kind of where what's brought me to where I am today, and just really what I enjoy doing.
I feel like you're just like taking the words out of my mouth. You're like speaking my language, Adam. So, Adam, when did you kind of begin to get connected on social media?
Yeah, so, you know, it started actually 5 years ago. Where I was an elementary principal, we had 1,200 kids. We had 8 kindergarten classes. It was just huge. And it was just so hard to get everywhere. So I said, you know, I'm going to try out this Twitter thing. And we started tweeting for my school just to kind of open up the classroom doors. I mean, there were kindergarten teachers that didn't even know the fifth grade teachers. So we did it actually as a way to not even for like my own professional development, but really for the school and just to kind of blow the doors off to get people more connected that way. So that's really where I started it. And then 3 years ago when I got to my school, I remember my first tweet was, hey, we're on Twitter, follow along just to see what's going on around campus. And every single one of my teachers is on Twitter at my school, at JSE Roadrunners. That's why I call us a Twitter school. And we're like almost at 12,000 tweets for 3 years, which is just like the epitome of sharing and, you know, blowing the doors off the classrooms and collaboration. And I mean, the list goes on. We have almost $80,000 in Donors Choose grants in 2.5 years. And to me, that's all attributed to social media, because we blow out the grants. And, you know, Bill Gates just funded us $4,000 to send teachers to Teachers College this summer. You know, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is doing a bunch. So it's really just taken on this amazing life of its own. Another principal friend and I wrote an article for EdWeek, what it's like to have your entire school on Twitter. And it is. And until you have it, you really don't know. And it is. And parents love it too. Like, so many parents are on it. And so that's like the one side of the house. And then obviously the personal, you know, at A Welcome, the professional side of it definitely plays two roles. But I wrote a blog post, How to Run Your School from Your Phone, because really I spend less than an hour a day in my office, like bell to bell, and really how can you do everything from your phone? And obviously social media is a huge part of that, and there's obviously many more components. But you know, being with the kids, Todd, if we're speaking the same language, that's where you make your money and that's where you make change, right? Being in classrooms, connecting with kids, connecting with teachers. I have a picture in my office from Peter Reynolds. It's about being like a dot connector, and I feel that the principal is the dot connector, connecting all those people and the projects. Oh, you're doing Genius Hour, go talk to Todd and you know, in that room, and he'll hook you up. And just, you know, kind of like the, you know, the mob boss in a way, making sure everybody has what they need and going where they are, and just, you know, money and things. And that's really, I feel, my job. And then playing kickball at recess is the best part, right? And
yep.
I've been getting schooled lately at Foursquare. I have to practice my Foursquare skills.
Man, I remember Foursquare, like when I was in fifth grade, we would play it literally every single. I love that game. God, I love that game.
Yeah.
Awesome. I would love to play that game again. What you kind of talked about, you talked about Twitter a little bit, but talk about being like a workshop and a reminder school as well. Like, how do those play a part?
Sure. So Remind, formerly Remind 101, you know, Todd and I know each other from those circles as well too. You know, actually I went to Remind because the communication system that we used in my district was really just so ineffective. And, you know, I'm like, I got to like go to my office and log onto a computer and then call a phone in 25 steps. I just want to send a message. So I went to Twitter and I said, hey, what do people use? And I got a message back from a principal friend of mine down in the Bay Area, and I just started using Remind, and I started really small. We started just with my PTA executive board, just to kind of build a consensus. And then every one of my teachers uses Remind too. And as a principal, I also subscribe to their classes, which then gives me a deeper level of understanding of what they're communicating to their parents. Mm-hmm. And I do a lot of blogging, and I'm on their teacher advisory board, you know, just like Todd, which is really a great way to kind of try out new features. You know, chat is out. Make sure you get on their wait list, because I really feel that's going to be a game changer. It already has, just in our beta groups. But really, how to connect parents with Common Core in the classroom, and just kind of how to speak that new language, because sending a message about, hey, don't forget, tomorrow it's Wednesday, school's out early, that's important. But you know, Twitter obviously has a huge part of that, and showing what's going on in classrooms. You know, Tony Sinanis and Joe Sanfilippo have written a great Corwin Connected book, you know, school branding and how to market your school. But what Remind does, it does it in a safe place. So it's not on social media. It's just mobile-to-mobile messaging. And, you know, teachers will take a picture of like an anchor chart or like a math number talk and send it to parents. Because parents don't – math looks different. I mean, even from when we were in school, right? And we're not that old. So how do parents better understand the curriculum and what's going on in the shifts with Common Core, you know, to support their child, you know, in the classroom? And then as a principal, I read a book, the same picture book, to each class every month, just as a really great way for me to connect. So then at the end of every month, I always send out a school-wide question about the book, and then, like, you know, sometimes a couple questions. Tell your child to choose their favorite character and why. So then it gets the parent having a conversation with their child, which is information and they would never have even known before if it wasn't for that connection, right? You know, so
I love that.
It's all about relationships and connections, and, You know, the more people trust us and build relationships, then the harder that they're going to work for us. Kids, parents, teachers, you know, district office. My superintendent goes, oh, I saw that on Twitter. She comes to visit, you know, twice a month, and she'll tell my teachers, oh, I saw that on Twitter. Oh, I saw that on Twitter. And I'm like, she's speaking the language, you know, like, hey, you can't argue with that. You cannot argue with that. So, and then the workshop is just Teachers College out of Columbia University, New York. Just Readers and Writers Workshop. We're in year two of Writers Workshop, and just seeing the growth in kids writing, and also blogging. All of our third through fifth graders have their own kid blog, and just to publish it to the world, and they get comments, and then we've taken it to where we have pen pal blog buddies in Spain, in San Luis Obispo, down on the beach. Just I've connected with other principals, and just getting kids to build connections that way. I mean, hey, you know, you can make $100,000 and never leave your house by writing a blog. Talk about career readiness. Why not? You know, and if anything else, it's just a great way to get all of your emotions out there and images and video, just to see what these kids are doing. It's just, you know, I mean, and they're in elementary school. I definitely feel we're trying to push up the envelope. A lot of times, sometimes, like the high schools and the middle schools will come down with their programs. I definitely feel that, from what I know, way more elementary schools are pushing the envelope up. And I'm not just in my district, but definitely pushing the envelope. I tell high school principals, hey, come see what our kids are doing. And you got fourth and fifth graders, you know, and they can, and their Google Drive is like uber organized, and they can tell you where everything's at. And then you got high school kids who are like, you know, playing around with PowerPoint. You know, there's a disconnect somewhere, right? Yeah, you know, yeah. There is, right? You know, we're doing coding and Genius Hour and everything else in elementary school. I mean, that's great, but by the time they're in high school, it's going to be something different. So, like, they should be doing it now. It's really focusing on next practices, I feel, and not, like, best practices, you know, like, just this is what we do. What should we be doing looking ahead? So just trying to have a more business, entrepreneurial attitude about the whole position. So
Adam, how do you challenge your staff to continue their learning?
Great question. You know, when I was a vice principal, we and then when I became principal, we started something called Wired Wednesdays, where once a month we would just get together. It was voluntary. Hey, I remember my first one when I was principal. Come and learn about Evernote, right? Just how to organize all your stuff, you know. And then the next one was maybe Twitter, and then after the third or fourth one, I had a teacher approach me. She said, hey, Adam, can I do the next Wired Wednesday? So then I knew I had them, because then it was like teacher to teacher, right? And then I did one on Twitter, and teachers started signing up. And then I took some teachers to an ed camp, and I took more teachers to an ed camp, and then we took them to some Q conferences. And now we don't do them anymore, because in the staff room in the morning, the conversation is, oh, did you see that on Twitter? Oh, I saw the article on Twitter. Oh, this. I mean, teachers need to be in charge of their own learning. Principals need to be in charge of their own learning. Superintendents need to be in charge of their own learning. So we've built, they are learners now, right? So yes, there still is a need for a principal. I definitely see myself as the unprincipal, but still like just chumming those ideas. And I'm a firm believer in doing what you do really well. You know, I'd rather do three things with fidelity than 10 with mediocrity. You know, I've seen so many schools with so many different programs, after school classes and science workshops, and then, you know, 3 years down the road, you know, half of them have gone by the wayside. So really be in depth with what you're doing, and make sure that it's good for kids. Kind of my new thing is, not a new thing, but really trying to emphasize is getting outside. You know, my school in particular has a really beautiful campus, and actually my whole school is one-to-one. We have about 550 students, and when I got to my school 3 years ago, there was about 60 iPads, and we're one-to-one. K-2 has iPads, every student, and then third through fifth has Chromebooks. So really, the classroom's anywhere. Get them outside, get them in the garden. You know, we've installed a bunch of benches. We actually have some more coming in a couple weeks. Get outside, collaborate, really, you know, I did some of my graduate work in Montessori education and just kind of bringing in the outside world. And, you know, you take kids even just to read outside in the grass, they are so much more intent than they are in the classroom. And that brings us something else, is bells. If you are a principal, turn off your bells. We have no bells at my school.
Really?
We have an 8:15 and a 2:35. You know, I'll tell you where bells are, and they're in prisons. You know, that's a pretty harsh comment, right? Wow. And I didn't do it my first year as principal. But everyone gets to where they need to go, right? And there's not the interruption of the bong, bong. I'll tell you, we'll be at another school in my district for a professional development, and we'll be there, and like it's like a half day, and I'll be sitting in my classroom, and the bells go off, right, because they haven't turned them off. All my teachers look at me, and like just like this, thank you for turning it off, because it does. You're sitting there, you're learning, and all of a sudden you like, you know, you're looking around, and it does. It just breaks your concentration. So that was a little segue, but it's definitely something I think that's important. So
that's very cool. I've never actually heard that before. That's the first person I've heard say that. That's cool. Yeah. What's something you're really proud of accomplishing, like maybe over the last year or so?
Over the last year, you know, parents are such a huge part of the conversation. You know, we can't do it without them. We can't do more without them. And just working with my parent groups, my PTA is my main parent group. At school, and just really working with them on funding and how to fund their work with Donors Choose funding, teacher grants, you know, because I can have an idea, but if you can't execute it, it's like a manager. Your lineup card can look great, but if you can't put the right team on the field and win games, what's the point, right?
Yep.
So really just those parent relationships, and I Twitter and Remind and being visible and knowing every one of my students' names, just builds that credibility. So then when you go to your parent groups to say, nah, this is what I want to do, this is what we need to do for the school, because you know, I want programs to outlive me, you know, in my tenure, not just to be Adam leaves and they stop, that they're good for kids. So, you know, speaking of kids, which obviously is the focal point of everything that we do, we have a saying, it's our hashtag at my school, Team Kid, and every tweet that we send out, it's Team Kid, and it's parents have embraced it. We put it on T-shirts and bumper stickers and banners, and you know, I'll go to different districts, and you go to their boardroom, and their mission and vision is like three paragraphs long. Team Kid, that's it. That's why we're here, right? So
yeah, that's great stuff, man.
So, Adam, who's somebody that inspired you the most when you were growing up?
Who inspired me? You know, who inspired me the most? You guys might not know him because being from Texas, and even still is one of the Giants' old managers, Roger Craig. And when Roger was a manager, and that's he, you know, they were scrappy, man. The Giants, like Will Clark, Robbie Thompson, yeah. Kevin Mitchell. But he had all these little sayings, and he rallied people around his cause, like "Hum, baby," and you know, it was people want to be part of a club, a fraternity, a sorority, a gang, right? A school. They want to believe. And I remember as a kid, I used to go to Candlestick all the time. I actually have Candlestick seats in my office. They tore the stadium down and they sold them. I bought two and put them in my office, that was kind of my first glimpse and just to. And just bringing people together, you know. Phil Jackson is another magician, you know. With that, obviously, you have to be a good coach, but so much of it is just people skills and you know, getting the right people on the bus in the right seats, so you can accomplish the mission.
Okay. You mentioned a couple of books earlier. Do you read like blogs religiously, and you know, what kind of books are you reading other than maybe the ones you've mentioned, or is anything you read over the last year that kind of stands out?
I've read so many dang education books. Like the last 3-4 years, I'm really on a non-education. You know, the whole Corwin Connected series is really great. You know, Peter DeWitt's written some great ones. I said Tony and Joe have really some great ones. There's a great one. I think Laura Fleming on makerspaces. But really, actually, I'm reading it right now. It's called Work Rules. It's by Laszlo Bock, and he's the he is the like chief people person for Google. Another kind of genre that I really love is military books. Leadership Lessons of the Navy SEALs is an amazing book that I think all leaders should read. Just, you know, the premise, obviously, of military leadership is much different than educational leadership, but a lot of the strands hold true where, you know, yes, I hold the title of principal, but really my teachers are teacher leaders, and they can independently think and make decisions, you know, to a pretty high degree without me, without my approval. And it takes time to get there, but really that's that mindset of, you know, people don't always have to come to me. After you get to know your people, they know how you think, so then they can execute decisions like you, and that's just shared collaborative decision making, you know, at its finest. So, right. Really, just like the non-education books, because I've read so much pedagogy, and oh my gosh, you know, Jean Piaget, like, and really, it's, you know, it's leadership and bringing people together for a common cause. So,
Adam, when you're having one of those really rough days, what do you kind of do to recenter yourself?
You know, I like to say that I have two kinds of days, great and awesome. I really don't, you know, I kids don't deserve to see my bad days. So, you know, if I do have a hard day, I leave it in my car, or then I maybe open it up in my car when I leave work every day. You know, I think a huge part of getting there is spending so little time in my office. When you are with the kids, that is why you are at school. And that is just my reminder of why we're here. Working with teachers, coming to me, you know, I'm a runner, so I get up at 4 o'clock every morning, and I run most days. There's a Voxer group, the Miracle Morning, and all the people in the Midwest have been hating me lately because it's been like, you know, 50 degrees below zero, and it's rained like 2 days in California. but really, you know, I mean, starting the day off right is definitely a positive. But just I think that having, you know, not letting me get to that place, because everything works out. I have a teacher leader right now who has her admin credential, and we have conversations, and I said, it's all going to work out. If your focus is on the kids and being positive, it always works out. Yes, there may be some bumps in the road, but it always works out.
Yeah, sorry about the looking off to the side. We're in the midst of a hailstorm right now. There's like golf ball size hail. Like just, it sounds like someone's shooting a machine gun at my house right now. Sorry, I don't know if you guys can hear that or not.
Sorry, it's 85 degrees in California.
Sorry. Yeah, it was perfect.
I mean, it was a beautiful window here, and yeah, it's a beautiful bright and sunny here.
Afternoon, and then like all of a sudden, it's literally like the skies opened up. So Adam, what's one of the biggest things you've learned over the last year?
Biggest things I've learned. Wish I had that question ahead of time, Chris.
that one kind of trips people up sometimes, and we can come back to it if you want, or we can just skip right over. No big deal. We got.
You know, one of the biggest things I've learned is, you know, not everybody, you know, not everyone's gonna agree with every decision that you make, especially as a principal. You know, and being in my fifth year of administration, I mean, I know that. But at the end of the day, what matters most is relationships. Because if people know you and they know that you're making a hard decision, and that 95% of your staff or maybe your parent community are going to agree with it, but the 5% doesn't, but they still know that you're a good person, that you put kids first. They may disagree with it, but they're still going to respect you, and they're still going to work for you and the team, right? Education is a team sport, and we need everybody on the bus going to the game, you know, that we can, because we can't do it without everybody. So I mean, at the end of the day, it's relationships. And Tony Sinanis, who's a principal out in New York, I've seen so many tweets from him about just relationships, and Roger Craig, relationships. My wife works in medicine, and her medical director, I talked to her, what's the hardest part? It's not the medicine, it's the people, it's relationships, right? Yeah. That's what it comes down to, you know. So just reminding yourself of that, I think is really truly important.
Cool. If you could go back and kind of see yourself as a first year teacher and be able to give some advice to yourself, what would you say?
What would I say? I had a lot of fun as a teacher. I had third grade was my first year. You know, I definitely probably could have had more with discipline. But hey, Adam, like, why'd you give so much homework? You know, because like, oh, Todd's struggling in math. Let's give him more math homework, right? But like, that's like the antithesis, you know. And obviously, you figure it out. But you know, yeah, why'd you give so much homework? Cool. I probably did because I was 23 years old, and you know, my
grade level. That's how you had it, yeah. That's
my grade level teammates, yeah. You know, and yeah. So that's it.
So, Adam, one of the questions that we always like to end on with our guests is, what is something that you're really passionate about right now?
Student voice. I've read too many articles, Washington Post, about kids. Sorry, social media student voice, about kids doing things wrong with social media. Hey, we loved your GPA, and then we looked at your Twitter account. Or, hey, this was really great, and then we looked at your Facebook page. So, you know, I've done some webinars and worked with Common Sense Media, and they have some really, really great toolkits. But how better to get kids actually tweeting? So we have social media interns at my school, and we have two for 2-week periods. And the first two I trained, I gave them an iPad with my @JSCRoadrunners account logged on, and I said, go out and take pictures. Because teachers tweet and they take pictures, and I see a viewpoint, and then, but what do students see? And then they came back to my office, and then we sat down and we tweeted together. What's a hashtag? You know, how do you tag a teacher? Make sure you spell check it. What's positive, and don't tweet this, but you can tweet that. And after a few days, I was like, hey, carte blanche, they were on their own. And every tweet that they tweet, they hashtag a kid tweet. So I'll be on campus, look at my phone, and I'll see a tweet that I didn't send. So I'm like, that's awesome. So we're on our fourth iteration of students, and I didn't train the next bunch. My first two originals trained them, so it's like a train-the-trainer model, right?
I love that.
So we actually spoke to our local Rotary about it. It was really great. We had a little picture in the paper. The kids were all excited because it's not going away. In 5 years, it may not be Twitter, right? In 2 years, it's going to be something else, whatever it is, right? Information is out there. People's, you know, people's profiles are out there. So, you know, you can give them a handbook and have them watch a brain pop. But, you know, hands-on is really, really positive, and they're really seeing, and the parents love it. You know, always talk to parents. Also, we talked about that at my PTA meeting just to let them know what was going on, and they loved it. I mean, the kids love it. They're like, hey, can I go to your office and get the iPad? And now I'm like, just keep it, and they keep it in their desks. And they just tweets pop up throughout the day. It's great. That's so great. Very cool. Yeah.
Man, thanks for spending some time with us this evening. I really, really appreciate it. How can listeners connect with you?
Yeah, definitely. So Twitter's A Welcome, Voxer's A Welcome. My school is @JSCRoadrunners, and then I have a blog as well too. I also have a pretty fun remind class. If you text @EduAwesome to 81010, you can get weekly fun updates. So.
Yeah, very cool.
Thanks for having me, Todd and Chris. I really appreciate it. Have a great week.
Yeah, very cool. You can connect with us at EduAllStars HQ. You can find our website, eduallstars.com, and search us out on Google, EduAllStars, and you can find all the previous episodes we've done.
And you can join us for our next episode as we interview Principal Derek McCoy. Thanks again, Adam. Really appreciate you giving us some of your time.
Thank you, guys.